Hey, good morning, Sower Nation. J.D. Walt here. It is Friday, October the 24th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. This is your wake-up call. It's going to be a good Friday. We got sowing to do today. People are mostly in a good mood on Fridays. They'll be open. Let's get ready. Let's begin with consecration today. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you, and we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see that I am back at Seedbed Global International Headquarters here at 415 Bridge Street in Franklin, Tennessee. I am in the seed lab, if you will. And I got a challenging but good entry, I think, today for us. It's called Down with Othering, Up with Neighboring. In our text, it's a classic story of what history calls the Good Samaritan. It's Luke chapter 10, verses 33 through 35. Hear now the word of the Lord. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, the robber, or not the robber, but the man left for dead by the robbers. And when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back." The word of the Lord. Now consider this. You've noticed this on the gospeling journey, but it's worth amplifying here in chapter 10. Jesus is giving an absolute masterclass on how to read the Bible better. You know, that's what all of this comes down to, right? How you read will determine how you lead your life. It's why Jesus' core invitation is to follow me. We must learn to read the Bible with Jesus, else we will read it wrong, lose the plot, and get off track, all the while thinking we are good, God-fearing, church-going Christians. Now, behold the master Bible teacher, backing up a few verses from our focus text. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" Jesus replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Did you catch the little bomb of a question Jesus asked there? How do you read it? And then he proceeds to tell us how the church of his day and ours likely reads the Bible. I'll paraphrase. A man finds himself beaten up and left for dead on the side of the road. No health insurance. The priest discovers him on his way to church, walks to the other side of the road to avoid becoming unclean, which is how he read it, the Bible. And then he keeps on going. The Levite lay leader discovers the man left for dead on his way to choir practice, probably late, and does the same thing. Then the clear sinner, the deplorable comes along. And the master class on loving your neighbor is on. Jesus puts the instant replay in slow motion to surface a dozen pro tips on what real compassion looks like. Number one, be on the lookout to see the need. Number two, stop everything and be ready to cancel all your appointments for the day. Number three, get off your horse. Number four, apply first aid. Bandage the wounds and pour on the good stuff. Yep, the oil and the wine. Number five, apply second aid. Put the hurt person on your horse. Number six, you walk. Number seven, apply third aid. Get him to a place of care, a hospital or a hotel, and stay with him. Number eight, apply fourth aid. The next day, cover all the costs. Number nine, apply fifth aid. Leave your credit card for incidental expenses in case he gets into the minibar. Number 10, apply sixth aid. Circle back around, check back in, and close the loop the following week. Now, before someone points out to me how impractical and unreasonable this would be for us to do every time we saw a person on the side of the road in desperate need, just watch the replay about seven more times. Just live with the text until it is thoroughly imprinted in your heart, mind, and memory. It will give Jesus in you the kind of raw material to work with going forward. Make sense? I'm not asking you to go do this today or tomorrow. I'm asking you to simply immerse yourself in this reading. Let it get inside of you. Let it get a hold of you. I want this story to get past the sort of childhood flannel board Bible story moment and get into your real memory, that it might be able to stoke your real imagination. The only thing I don't like about this story is the super famous title someone gave it 400 years ago, The Good Samaritan. It implies the rest of the Samaritans were bad, and this one was somehow the rare exception. It's another bitter fruit of bad Bible reading. Why not call it The Good Neighbor? And right here, we get the secret sauce of the story. It's the uppercut, knockout punch after the devastating right hook. Jesus is taking on our penchant for othering others, especially those we perceive as our enemies. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for becoming yourself, the Good Samaritan, for the whole world. You are the one who most truly and deeply and profoundly represents who you made us to be and become. And yet we othered you to the ultimate extreme. Soon you will show yourself to be the ultimate prodigal son. We are so backward because we don't know how to read. Forgive us. Teach us to read, Jesus. You are our text. You are our reading. And lead us from the devastation of othering into the love of neighboring. It will be for your glory, for others' good, and for our gain. Praying in your name, Jesus. Amen. Our journal prompts. I know, I said a dozen pro tips. I left room for the two you saw that I didn't. So what are they? And who is the, quote, other in your life and world? Is it MAGA Republicans? Is it godless Democrats? Is it LGBTQ people? Charlie Kirk fans? Hint, hint. It's whatever group you would have a hard time putting the label good in front of. And I know full well some will undoubtedly other me for going there, and that's okay. And remember, I didn't go there. The text did. I just followed or stepped in it, as the case may be. Don't hear me saying something I'm not saying here. Labor to read me well and hear what I am actually saying. Thank you for that. You know, it raises again the invitation I'm making for Monday night upcoming, our little workshop called How to Read the Bible Better. It's critical. We pick up bad reading habits all along the way. And just like I said earlier this week, you know, the Pharisees, the religious legalists are reading the Bible. The Sadducees are reading the Bible. The sort of zealots, the zeal without knowledge, oftentimes are just gung-ho revivalists. They're reading the Bible. The devil is reading the Bible. You go back in Luke, and there you see the temptation narrative. You see it in all the Gospels, or at least the first three. Devil's quoting Scripture to Jesus, okay? The devil's reading the Bible. And that's some of the greatest, most horrific things that have happened in human history have been at the reading of the Bible inspired by Satan. And of course, guys, Jesus is reading the Bible. And the beautiful thing about Jesus, he's not only reading the Bible, he's bleeding the Bible. He's living the Bible. He is the interpretation. He is the Good Samaritan. I just had that insight as I was coming through this time around. Never seen it before. He's the one who comes all the way down, gets off his horse, pours on oil and wine, cares for us to the utmost, gives his life for us. We want to learn to read the Bible with Jesus. And in our little 90 minutes together, we're going to do our best to grow in that. So I want to keep inviting you to it. All right, we're going to sing today. Got our great Redeemer's praise here. kind of a perfect song. We've already sung it, I think, not too long ago, but when it's the right song, it's the right song. It's number 457, Rescue the Perishing, by Fanny Crosby, great hymn writer of the 19th century. We'll sing all four verses. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it. Strength for your labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently wend them. Tell the poor wanderer the Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Amen. Yeah, just one more bit here. Yeah, sometimes you can take a text, an entry like today's, and just overburden yourself with it. Like, man, I'm just not doing enough. I'm not caring enough. I'm not, you know, getting off my horse enough. And I just want to break that off of you. Okay? This is not something we're going to grow in by willpower, by just trying harder, by loading up guilt on ourselves and, you know, falling into compassion fatigue. Isn't that an interesting term? This is not something we can do in our own strength. This is something Jesus does. We need to be moved by the Spirit of God as we move through this world. What we want to do with a text like this today, and even the way that I broke it down, I just kind of feel like for the longest time, like, oh yeah, the Good Samaritan story. Yeah, I know that one. Yeah, just, you know, help a brother out when he's down. And that's about the extent of it. But when I started breaking it down and just counting the steps, just observing the level of care going on in that scene and reminding myself, like, that Samaritan, that wasn't on his schedule that day. He had other things to do, and he just got lost, really, in the exercise of love. And the goal isn't to sort of try to compare myself to that. No, that's why I say, just slow down the scene and watch the replay. Get the scene imprinted in your memory. It just needs to be in there. This is what the Spirit is always looking for, the Word in us to conjure and to catalyze our imagination, to give us the sense of what God may be doing in a completely new way in this present moment. The Lord will bring these stories together. He might say, you know what? That's too heavy a lift for you. You need to go get three other friends, and y'all need to go together and bring this guy to the presence of Jesus. Remember that story through the roof? We need to have a biblical imagination. We've got to have a biblical memory. Imagination comes from memory. What we can remember, we can imagine completely new, iterative, innovative, improvisational ways. It's beautiful. This is how God works. And so, yeah, I'll just stop there. But it's been a good week in Franklin, and lots of sowing going on. Let's get our seeds. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.